Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and another company update, this time from Group 10 Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol PGE and on the OTCQB under the symbol PGEZF. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Michael Rowley. To bring everybody up to speed, Group 10 Metals is focused on battery and precious metals in the U.S. broadly. With the focus, the company's flagship project is the Stillwater West project in Montana. This is a, I guess more even so, a nickel project with PGM metals as well. Now, Mike, we're going to start off by commenting quickly on the market, because we have seen a number of resources and commodities go vertical. Nickel is one that we were talking about earlier this week as the price just spiked. But also some of these PGM metals, they have been doing well on the back of whatever drivers you want to attribute it to. Either way, these metals have gone vertical. It changes generally the outlook for some of these projects as long as these higher prices hold. But take us through how these higher prices, especially when it comes to nickel and some of the PGMs, how it impacts the way that you think investors and potentially purchasers of the Stillwater West project would view that project.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's the perfect storm for us. And the short-term issues of the war will probably resolve themselves, but the longer-term broad market is also in place, of course. This is nickel and PGEs in the U.S., as you mentioned, and nickel has gone just ballistic, up 250%, and then they halted trading on the LME out of concerns for that and the ability to, for a Chinese billionaire to meet his shorts, which is really remarkable. Palladium, 27% of the world supply comes from Russia, nickel, 12%, and that's the driver here. Palladium, of course, also at record highs. That's our focus at Stillwater West, and it's in the U.S. in famously productive U.S. rocks and a district that has historically produced critical minerals for the U.S. in two separate earlier waves, chrome during the 40s and 50s, and then PGEs in the 80s. So our resources debuted last year, are perfectly split for the modern age, and we're basically bringing that third wave of critical metal supply to the U.S. with two-thirds battery metals, nickel, copper, and cobalt, and one-third PGEs and gold. 1.1 billion pounds of battery metals, 2.4 million ounces PGEs and gold. The split there, 42% nickel by value, and that's using the values of our commodity, of our resource report, and 20% palladium as the two big drivers. So it is very good timing for us. The decoupling from globalization and what we're seeing as resource nationalism is rising. And this war with Russia has simply brought that home in a very big way, very suddenly, as it pertains to nickel and palladium. And those two have gone ballistic as a result. It's an excellent time to be looking for these commodities in the U.S. and in a famously productive U.S. district.
Yeah, Mike, the stars are aligning for the commodities that you're drilling for and expanding your resources with, not just in nickel palladium, but copper also hit an all-time high earlier in the week, and you've got a fair bit of that. And obviously, the need for cobalt is still there, and a lot of people have trace amounts, but you guys have about 10% cobalt. So that's a healthy weighting for the battery metals narrative and having a domestic supply. But yeah, the PGMs with palladium and even the rhodium that you're now assaying for is a significant co-credit in how much higher it is than the platinum and palladium price. So it's an exciting mix of metals. I know that a lot of people are curious as to how your resource will be growing. You just put out a resource estimate last year, and you're still waiting on drill results from last year. So I know that that will be feeding into a resource estimate hopefully later this year. But what can you tell us about how things are going with the drilling, how things are growing with the deposit, and what can you tell us about some of the results that were just released earlier this week?
Yeah, Monday's news was four more holes in a second tranche of results. That brings us to 6 of 14 reported from the 2021 expansion campaign. None of those are included in the resource to date. So as fast as we can get those remaining 8 assay results in, we will be looking to update that and expand that resource model on a priority basis. And I have good indications that we can do that this year. It's just, we obviously need to see the assay results first. As you saw in Monday's release, there's some really good grades in there. We've not yet updated the cross sections on our website, but as we get to that, you'll see that these intercepts are 1 and 200 meters off of those deposit areas in the three bigger deposit areas. So we're seeing very good indications of growing these things. Last year's campaign was our biggest ever. It nearly tripled the previous year. We're looking for the same thing this year. All deposits are open along strike, to the adjacent deposits and the depth. So we're looking at our biggest programs yet and further expansion on that basis.
Now, do you have a defined outline of what the program is going to look like this year as you are still waiting on these other results? Is that what it's going to be predicated on, or are you pretty much ready to plan out that program?
We're well through the planning process. On a visual basis, we have good indications of what those remaining eight holes are, and we have a lot of targets, even without them. So we're well into the planning process, and we really will just finalize things when we get those results.
Well, Mike, just remind people, there's a couple targets you've been going after on last year's program, and I'm sure they'll still be in play for this year's. You put about six holes into the Chrome Mountain area between Hybrid and DR, but you've also put six into the HDR target at Iron Mountain. And then the recent results, some of those came from the CZ target. Are there any other targets you'll be looking at, or where will the balance of the work be as we roll into 2022?
We'll continue to focus on those three. It'll be probably, you know, a 75-25, maybe 80-20 sort of split between resource growth and holes that step out farther. One of the nice things about this project is, we see terrific capacity to grow it, as you've seen from the multiple layers of correlated anomalies. But we've only used 83 of our drill holes to date in the resource models. There are 14 pending from last year in the sense of the model. Six of those, of course, reported, eight remaining. But there are 133 holes across the property that we have not yet brought into the models. And that's really the point. At some of the farther out holes, they simply guide us and tell us where not to drill, which is a benefit because they're holes we don't have to drill. But a lot of those could potentially be brought into resource models as we grow these deposits towards them and are able to incorporate them with current drilling. So yeah, that's a long answer, but yeah, 80-20 sort of split between resource expansion drilling and holes that reach a little bit farther afield.
Now, Mike, what do you think is going to draw some more investors into the story outside of simply the rising commodity prices that the projects hold? Is it going to be expanding the resource, or do you think it might be making some new discoveries or expanding on some lesser known zones?
We definitely have new targets that we have not drill tested and could be spectacular. The three areas that you see really are building on the work of past decades. And as you guys well know from mining, this follows generally where there's outcrop and something was obvious to miners in the 40s or 60s or 80s. As we get into geophysics and more sophisticated targeting techniques, then you can start to see through overburden and even down 50 meters or something. So the three areas that are the most developed that you mentioned, actually, DR, Hybrid, CZ, and HDR, those are not necessarily the biggest and best. They're simply the ones that have some size to them to date. We certainly look forward to stepping out. And that would bring some new eyes and some bang. I think it's commodity prices and that strategic metal story in the U.S. We're seeing increased retail interest, especially in the U.S., as part of secular rotation, right? Money coming out of other investment channels, off big boards, for example, and into resource commodity stocks in general. That trend is often what drives the next wave for us juniors. Explorers are at 52-week lows. This is thinking 1 or 2 weeks ago now because things have changed a little bit for some of us. But producers are at 52-week highs, and that's the kind of split that precedes the juniors rising dramatically because, of course, producers have been consuming inventory. They need to replace ounces and pounds, and that's what juniors are for. We are the startups of the mining world, and we're here. We've been doing good work, and M&A season is what comes next. So the curve is moving nicely the way it's supposed to. I think the rising tide will float all boats, and I think Stillwater will outperform.
Well, Mike, to that point, I'm sure there's a lot of people looking at your proximity to Stillwater next door at Sibanye, and also looking for domestic supplies. So I'm sure that there are some people that'll be eagerly awaiting not just, you know, the resource estimate, but we'll be following along with these drill results. And I'd submit that since you are an explorer, it's not just a new discovery. People are going to be looking to see how these expansion drill holes go, because you still have a lot to release with 8 more big holes coming out. One question I have is, have you done any metallurgical work? Do you have an idea of, are there any smelter penalties in these results? Do you have a good handle on that? And also, could you maybe talk about how you're assaying some of the holes for rhodium, as I think that's a significant co-credit?
Sure. Yeah, the metallurgy one, AMAX did very good work in the early 70s. And we have good indications from the CZ deposit area that that material floats very nicely. And they actually made a con that looks very saleable with PGE values reporting significantly. And that's using a single stage float in 1973. So we have good indications. We are now turning our attention to that. We don't expect to do a full-blown PEA this year. We're going to focus on expanding resources, but we definitely want to start to tick some of the boxes of a PEA study. And metallurgy, as you well know, is first and foremost with these nickel projects, because your nickel can be in silicate and just not be recoverable. We have good indications that the majority is in sulfide. That's good news. It floats well. We also have good preliminary indications from some of those new hits in the Chrome Mountain area. Hole CM202004 with that lovely 8.5 meter of 1.1% nickel, 1.8% nickel equivalent. That one shows very good preliminary metallurgy, meaning the nickel tenor of the sulfides is very strong. That's another one to follow up in a metallurgy sense and then to expand upon. You asked about rhodium. Rhodium indeed reported in those AMAX tests from 1973, which is a very good sign. And we do a lot of rhodium assays at Stillwater because it's there. The old relationships were not well understood, which is typical of all of our work in the district. We're literally rewriting the textbook there. We often do a first pass rhodium on the intercepts that look visibly obvious. You've seen that in Monday's news release, where that one interval from Chrome Mountain, I think it's hole 2, actually registered nicely for rhodium. We then do a follow-up once we've got the first pass of assay results. We do a deeper dive on rhodium, having seen what the other PGEs are reporting and where. And you'll see that. So I would expect drill results to be reported here in one or two more tranches, and then a final tranche with all results, including all rhodiums, as a final piece.
All right. Well, Mike, keep us up to date. When that news comes out, we'll bring you back on the show to cover the remaining drill holes, and also when we get just a little more information on that drill program that will be happening this year. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Mike, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you. In full disclosure, Shad is a shareholder of Group 10 Metals. Mike, thank you, as always, for your time, and keep in touch on the back of some more news.
Thank you, gents. Cheers.